Hello everyone, welcome to the Digital Marketing Chat Podcast, your one-stop destination to explore the latest happenings, strategies, tools, techniques, and case studies in the digital marketing domain. I'm your host, Prince Kumar, and we have Rasmus Holle, personalized and omnichannel marketing expert with us today. Rasmus is a renowned expert in personalized and omnichannel marketing. With multiple best-selling books behind him, he is a renowned author and sought-after keynote speaker and thus further spreading his knowledge and advice throughout the industry. We are excited to have him and understand the power of AI for personalization in the digital market. Hi Rasmus, a warm welcome on our show.
Thank you. That's a very nice intro. Thank you, Kumar.
So, you know, that was just in a nutshell. Now we want to know more about you and also about your corporate journey and also about the books that you have.
Yeah. So, I've been in digital marketing for almost 20 years. I've been over a decade of them. I spent with digital marketing agencies where I was working with building platforms and e-commerce websites, corporate websites and such. But also within marketing automation or dialogue marketing to a large extent. And that fueled my desire to write books. So I published my first book about omnichannel marketing in 2015. The next one called Make It All About Me from Lit Publishing in 2019, which is basically a book about how you turn your organization around for better customer centricity. And then last in April, I launched this book, which is called Hello First Name, that zooms in with razor-sharp focus on personalization and the different forms of personalization that exist and how you can define it and, more importantly, how you can profit from working with it and to which extent you can take it. So that's the idea, Hello First Name. And I think perhaps many marketers, maybe even some of the listeners, have tried receiving an email or an offer where it said hello first name because someone got it wrong. So it actually said hello first name, for instance, in the text or in the subject line. And some of the listeners have maybe even tried sending one, which is even worse. So that often brings up a bit of shame with people, actually.
Definitely. Okay. So now, coming to the topic that we have for today, we all are seeing out there, you know, that AI is taking the digital marketing world by storm, whether it might be the ChatGPT or multiple, like Google has launched its own AI, Bing is launching, and then there are a lot of, like, each and every platform have launched their AI, like they are using AI into their medium out there. So how do you think about it, that how this AI is changing or shaping the digital marketing world?
Yeah, so I think that's a very, very broad question, obviously, since AI can be used for so many things. But looking at sort of my more detailed area of expertise, namely personalization, I can give some perspectives as to how I believe that AI is going to change personalization. Because the way that I look at personalized marketing, and indeed a lot of marketing is personalized these days, but it's not always the case. But that's another topic. So looking in at personalization, the sort of main point that me and my co-authors found by doing a lot of research and by doing a lot of expert panels is that if you really boil it down to the most simple way of looking at personalization, it's about matching your customer insights together with your content. And you do that before thinking about which channels to use. You do that before thinking about cost and think about everything. So it's really about the moment you create relevance is when you succeed in matching the customer insights with the content that you present to a specific customer. And then you can say the insights part of that is very often related to data. I mean, of course, you can have sort of general insights from the society, and that will give you some kind of relevance, what is going on in the world right now. And if you're talking about that and you have content that matches that, that will give some kind of resonance and relevance. But if you match your content to the specific data that you have on your customers, then it can either be what I normally call segments, so customer types, rather static groups of customers, or you can have moments of truth, which are more like fluctuous, more here and then, it's more here and now, and it, then it's over again. So we have the fairly static segment insights, and you have the more dynamic moments of truth. And I think AI, I mean classic AI, not talking about generative AI, classic AI has helped us in making making those insights come to life by doing propensity scoring, by doing behavioral segmentation, behavioral clustering, and by doing all kinds of insights based on algorithms. So that's kind of, I would call it old school AI. If you then look at the content side of things that you are supposed to sort of match up with the insights, I divide the content in two overall types. I have this model called the bow tie of personalization. I think we can put a link to the illustrations in the show notes if you like. The content side of things, that's either the messages, I mean the creative messages that you put together. What is it that we want the customer to know or to feel or to do? And you put some creative stuff around that. You write the text, you put the images, you do a video, you upload whatever, you do a small video that you can use on TikTok and on email and YouTube and whatever. So the message can be put together of many creative forms and different tones of voices and such. And then you have the content feeds. So that would be your product feeds, or in the case of a Netflix, it would be feed of different shows or movies or series. Or if it's a news site that you're operating, then it would be all your content articles in a feed. So content that the marketer working with personalization doesn't change, but that they instead sort it and rank it and slice it and dice it and group it and mark it up based on certain properties and so on and so on. And I think the product recommendation tactics and the ranking and the sorting of those, classic AI has also helped us do that ranking for years now. So where I really see that generative AI is going to benefit personalization efforts in the future is that of the messages. So helping us craft the creative messages so that we as marketers don't have to start from scratch, but we can, based on the insights and the segments and whatnot, actually brief, use that as a brief in a prompt for the creative generative AI to help us put together that specific message. Maybe a long answer, but yeah, hope that makes sense.
definitely. Okay, so you have definitely highlighted that the AI is very helpful for digital marketing. And but do you also think, like, are there any challenges that can come because of the AI? Mainly, it can be in the form of, let's say, especially for the content writers or like other marketers out there. Do you think there can be some challenges also?
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah. So let me give you a very concrete example of that. So I mean, I work at a software company called Agilic, and we have many clients, also some within fitness operators, fitness chains. So if you look at the customer life cycle for a health club member or fitness member, it a very important place in the customer journey for them, a very important moment of truth, is when you, for a period of time, don't go to the gym. So that's important for you and your health, because, I mean, and you're paying for a subscription, and if you're not using it, and obviously you're missing out on the health benefits that you actually wanted to have. But it's also a problem for the health club operators or the fitness clubs, because eventually you will terminate your subscription if you don't use it. So getting these finding and I would say isolating or building a very dynamic group of customers here in this particular moment of truth. I think we could call the moment of truth, we could call it couch potatoes. I mean, the ones who should be using their gym subscription, but they don't do it. You want to reactivate those, and there will be in different segments, right? So you will have young people working out in the gym, to get strong and look good and have ripped abs and big guns and whatever. And then you'll be having also like more elderly people working out for the sake of health benefits and fighting osteoporosis and all that kind of stuff. So a very different message would actually be needed to convince the elderly people to go back to the gym versus the young men to go back to the gym. So essentially, it's the same message. It's a reactivation message. Go back to the gym, you know, it will be good for you. But you'll have the tone of voice and the whole creativity in a totally different way, depending on whom you're reaching. And those are just two segments. There will be multiple others, like depending on whether people are working out with free weights, or they're going to the classes and so on and so on, which exercises they're doing and which classes they're attending and so on. And what I've seen, and I actually played around with this, so I tried actually using sort of the descriptions and the naming of this moment of truth. So inactive members, we want to reactivate them. So we have a message that's reactivation, and we have different segments. So I tried using the segment name and the moment of truth along with the message name and description, and do that as a prompt to ChatGPT and see, can you make me the email text that would most likely convince the young man to go back to the gym, or the one that would make the elderly woman go back to the gym, or the young woman go back to the gym, and so on and so on. Please help me craft that message and write that. And that actually works fairly well. So I got some pretty good results, and you can tweak the prompt and you can make it better and you can learn and so on and so on. But actually the results were pretty good. And I would say that they were, in this case, they were probably 85% okay. So looking at it and judging, is this something that can tolerate the light of day and that we can actually bother send to people? And that was quite okay, but I still needed some tweaking. Then I thought, okay, so we're going to need some imaging. We're going to need some images to put behind this. So I was playing with Midjourney, which is doing images based on prompts. And I was doing somewhat the same prompting, using some of the same properties and so on. And I was asking asking Midjourney to paint me a picture of a young man looking at a person from this particular part of the world and working out with heavy bench press exercises and whatever that would be suitable for how a young man wanting to get strong would probably work out. And I would say that was also 80% good, meaning that it wasn't good, because I was looking at the image and I could immediately see that this guy has three arms. So three arms, and the bar when he was doing the bench press was behind his head, was behind his neck. So point being that with text, it's okay that it's 80% done, because you can tweak the rest. But with images, 80% done is absolutely useless. And immediately, I would never let that run on its own. I also tried making Midjourney paint me pictures of people kitesurfing, and it looked like absolute rubbish. And of course, I think these will be weeded out. But until we get a bit further, I don't see it running all by itself. I wouldn't trust generative AI to go ahead unsupervised, and think that's the danger. So don't put too much trust in it. Remember that you need to review it. You need to have human eyes on this, but it can definitely take you to 80% of the way, and you can get more done quicker. But that's the way I see it.
Okay. So now, since you have already highlighted the AI for personalization in digital marketing, now let's say, if the brands are there, they are doing digital marketing out there. Now, when we are recommending them to use AI for personalization to their digital marketing, then some of the common questions that can come upon that, okay, I will be doing that. But what will be the different KPIs, or what will be the different measuring parameter that I can check upon to see the effectiveness of my campaign? So how we can handle that?
Yeah, so basically, I think the measures for the effect that you're trying to create doesn't change. So you'd still be measuring conversion rates or sales per channel or sales per customer and so on and so on. That would probably still be the case. So you still be measuring. So if you're in a subscription-based business model, you'll still be measuring churn or customer retention and so on and so on. But what I believe will change for with the help of AI and generative AI in particular, if we start using it properly, I think that the efficiency part will be greatly enhanced. So I think that it will allow us to do much more with less resources. So maybe looking at the amount of resources that goes into producing a specific campaign or a specific automation flow or writing all the email variants that would be in a big marketing automation program or loyalty program. I think that is going to change because generative AI, I mean, if you can get the help from generative AI to get you to 80% faster, it means that you can either do the same with less people, or you can do even more advanced things. You can simply do more within the same time. You can launch more marketing automation flows, or you can do more variants in your campaigns for various segments, because it will very easily get you to 80% of the way.
Got it. All right. So you have, given a lot of advice out today. Any last piece of advice that you would like to give to the audience or to the business owners on how they can use it to the best?
I think one thing worth considering is that there's so much hype about generative AI that you can easily get the impression that you're being left behind if you're not already all over it. And I think my last piece of advice would be don't despair, because if you don't come to generative AI will come to you. Meaning that all the tech providers that you're probably already using, so our clients included, or clients of other tech platforms and so on and so on, they are struggling or they're working day and night to bring the generative AI into the platforms that people are probably already using. So whether you know it or not, you will soon start using the generative AI to make things easier. So imagine a button built into the email marketing system or the marketing automation system where you say, give me a draft of how this email could look using these parameters. I mean, that will be built into the technology that people are already using. So don't worry, this will come to you as well. I'm not saying that you shouldn't spend time and go out there and be creative and look at all the different tools. You can definitely do that, but also don't feel like you're completely left behind if you're not spending 2 days a week trying to figure this out.
Perfect, very well done. Okay, so with this, we have come to the end of today's episode. It was nice having you, Rasmus, and know a bit more on how we can have a personalized communication, personalized marketing for our digital marketing. So thank you so much for your time, and we look forward to having you again.
Thank you.